Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best, and the Lord Jesus answered for you. If you're having any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. Also, I want to give to you guys the address where if you want to see or have a copy of the messages, you can write to the Church of Christ Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Once again, that's the Church of Christ Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. If you want to call, you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one there, you can call area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-2343. And the fax number is area code 816-252-0143. So without further ado, before we go into the lesson today, let us pray. Most gracious Father, we come before you again on this day that you have made and the day that we have been seeing here, still glorifying you. And dear Lord, we acknowledge that without you, we know nothing. And dear Lord, we turn to you for truth. And Father, I pray today as we assemble together on this lesson today, I pray that your spirit will reveal himself and reveal the truth unto those that are listening. To all that desire to know the truth, I pray that you will put that within their heart to seek you concerning the information that I've given today. Lord, I ask that you anoint the words of my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to you. And so, Lord God, we lift you up. We magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Today we are looking at part two of what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed that the Mormons also speak on this day and time. Once again, I have not heard even from Mormons I come across or other people who have encountered them. I have not heard whether they straight out mention this word of wisdom to you. More or less, it is something that they direct straightly to their membership. We are on part two today. And I want to say for those of you that first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to listen to part one. You're listening on this God's Word to Man, Jesus Word to Midnight Cry broadcast page. And when you go back to the page where it should be an icon of a big, it have the list, of the broadcast, name of the broadcast on there, you can scroll down. Because the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio is that it does record the past broadcast, so you can go back and listen to past broadcasts that we have done. I encourage you all that if this is your first time listening, go back and listen to part one that you may be caught up to speed. I'm going to continue on. I'm not going to go all the way back into that. I just point you to part one that you may be caught up. Now, we're talking about today, what is this word of wisdom Joseph Smith claimed and that the Mormons in this day and time even speak about that they really uphold. Joseph Smith claimed in 1833 that the Lord gave him this, quote, word of wisdom, which was supposed to have been a revelation. And what happened was that Joseph Smith had what is called the School of Prophets, where they got in there, and him and the men would meet, and they would go into the Word of God with each other and all of that nature. So what happened was that, from what I understand, that when they was getting ready to meet, whenever they got ready to meet, the men in there would be smoking cigars and chewing tobacco, okay? And from their records, it said that they were smoking so that the room would be filled with smoke. And so when Joseph Smith got up to speak, it was just so much smoke. And then his wife, Emma, who had to clean the place after they left, she found herself cleaning, quote, tobacco juice spit on the floor. So she's talking with Joseph, and Joseph said he started to wonder, is it, you know, how is the, I guess you could say maybe what God thinks about it, is it wrong for them to smoke and all that? And so, according to their records, Joseph Smith sought the Lord about this thing. And according to them, the Lord answered Joseph Smith by giving what they call revelation, February 27, 1833. And they put in one of their other books called the Doctrine and Covenants book, where Joseph Smith is claiming revelations from the Lord in that. Now, in this revelation that Joseph Smith claimed that God gave him, they call it the word of wisdom. And in it, God supposedly had told him foods that were good for them. And he also supposedly had told him of things that was harmful for the body. He told him about the food that were good was fruits, herbs, vegetables, which you can see that from in the Bible, Genesis 1, Greek and Book of Psalms, where it let us know that, you know, God had given us the plants and things, you know, for food and for medicinal purpose. And then he talks about how the Lord told him that they can eat the flesh of beasts and the fowls of the air, which is to be used sparingly. Now, if you listen to part one, I stress to you my concern also about that part too, because when you go on the site Word of Wisdom by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this is their website, and they have on here, quote, the words that the Lord supposed to have gave Joseph Smith, especially by eating the flesh of beasts and the fowls of the air, and to do it sparingly. I noticed that in the words that the Lord supposed to have given him, the Lord told him that he can eat the flesh of beasts and the fowls of the air, which is to be used sparingly. But it's amazing that in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, when the Lord talks about the flesh of beasts to eat, it was specific ones. And those specific ones was referred to the ones that who were clean. And then he would tell you the flesh of beasts not to eat. He called them unclean. Now, it's amazing the Lord took the time to, quote, break that down for the children of Israel in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But when he got to Joseph Smith, he made it like you can eat any beast, you know, the flesh of beasts. It didn't say the flesh of some beasts, according to what they got here. And it didn't say summon the fowls of the air. It didn't say that. It is giving you the impression that, you know, flesh of beasts and fowls of the air, that there's no specific one. So that's one of the things that I stress to you guys about this, quote, revelation that the Lord supposed to have given them. Now, on the part where that he said the Lord also in this word of wisdom gave him sustenance that was harmful to him, he spoke of alcoholic drinks, tobacco, said the Lord told him alcoholic drinks and tobacco, but also he said that the Lord told him that hot drinks was not good for the body. And according to the Church of Latter-day Saints, they interpret. Now, if you go back and listen to part one, I mentioned this. It didn't say that this revelation come from God. They interpret that God was saying tea and coffee, okay, that they ought to refrain from tea and coffee. Wow. And anyhow, the next thing I want to talk to you about in dealing with this word of wisdom, I want to read to you something from another one of their websites, and I want to read to you about one of their former members who is the great-great-granddaughter of one of their, quote, head leaders, Brigham Young. Now, the first thing I want to do is read to you, and the title of this is, and I want to go to this here, the title of this that you can type in is Overview of Joseph Smith and the Word of Wisdom. Overview of Joseph Smith and the Word of Wisdom, and this is under the LDS, that's the Latter-day Saints, discussion. So I guess you could say that this is kind of like their website as well. And what I want to read to you, and I'm scrolling down to it here. Now, here's the thing on this that, you know, I want to read to you on this, okay? Now, Joseph Smith said that this was a revelation, this word of wisdom was a revelation given to him by God, okay? And hallelujah. And he said that the Lord told him, you know, about, you know, the alcoholic beverages. Now, on this overview of Joseph Smith, this is the thing about this. Now, you ain't got this revelation from the Lord to that this alcohol is harmful to the body. And I agree with that, alcoholic thing. I agree with that. But what I want to read to you on their site here, I want you to listen to what they said. They said, and this is on overview of Joseph Smith, and it said, the truth is that early church members almost all drank, including Joseph Smith. In fact, Joseph Smith drank wine on the day he died, which was a full decade after the word of wisdom was recorded. As John Taylor was also one of their members, and if I'm not mistaken, one of their members in the ministry, recalled. This is what he said. He said, sometime after dinner, we sent for some wine. It has been reported by some that this was taken as a sacrament. It was no such thing. Our spirits were generally dull and heavy, and it was sent for to revive us. Now, the same thing you talk about. Okay, but anyhow, he said, I think that it was Captain Jones who went after it, but they would not suffer him to return. I believe we all drank of the wine and gave some to one or two of the prison guards. This is under their History of the Church book. I guess it's chapter 7, verse 101. Then he goes up, they go on to say, even 3 years after this revelation, Joseph Smith did not seem at all hesitant to drink alcohol. From the History of the Church, it said, we did partook of some refreshments and our hearts were made glad with the fruit of the vine. This is according to the pattern set by our Savior himself, and we feel disposed to patronize all the institutions of heaven. So this is Joseph Smith's History of the Church, okay? They said there are also stories in saints of early members getting drunk to the point where they were having visions, speaking in tongues, etc. That's not to say all church members were habitual drunks by any stretch, but neither were those not in the church, which the different imagery implies, even if unintentional. Now, thank you, Jesus. I want to read to you, now keep that in mind, I want to read to you, now this is another one of their ex-members named Sandra Tanner. Now her and her husband, Gerald, wrote a book called, one of the books they wrote called The Changing World of Mormonism. Now you know, they was in Mormonism for years, and Sandra Tanner is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, who was supposed to be the Mormons' quote, second prophet, the successor to Joseph Smith when he died. And I want to read to you on her research and what she says about this thing with Joseph Smith and this word of wisdom and how he treated the thing, okay? Now, this way she said, a prime example of a policy change that caused a number of changes in Mormon records is the attitude of the Mormons' leaders toward the Word of Wisdom. The Word of Wisdom is a revelation given by Joseph Smith on February the 27, 1833, forbidding the use of hot drinks, alcoholic beverages, and tobacco. Mormon writer John J. Stewart wrote concerning the Word of Wisdom that no one can hold high office in the church on even the stake or ward level, that's their own personal offices, by the way, nor participate in temple work, who is a known user of tea, coffee, liquor, or tobacco. The prophet himself, now listen to this, carefully observed the word of wisdom and insisted upon its observance by other men in high church positions. Now this is one of their books called Joseph Smith, the Mormon Prophet, okay, said that Joseph Smith carefully observed this word of wisdom that God, he said God gave. Now, she goes on to say, in spite of this statement by John J. Stewart, that's who was saying, that's another Mormon member who said, hey, the prophet, he carefully observed the word of wisdom. You know, he in other words, he kept it. Well, she said, in spite of this statement by John J. Stewart, the evidence showed that Joseph Smith, now listen to this, did not keep the word of wisdom, and at times he would even advise others to disobey it. In a thesis written at the Mormon-operated Brigham Young University, Gary Dean Guthrie gives the following information. Joseph tested the saints to make sure their testimonies were of his religion and not of him as a personable leader. Amasa Lyman of the First Presidency related, Joseph Smith, now listen to this now, tried the faith of the saints many times by his peculiarities. At one time, he had preached a powerful sermon on the word of wisdom, and immediately thereafter, he rode through the streets of Nauvoo smoking a cigar. Okay. Some of the brethren were tried, as was Abraham of old. This is in the book Joseph Smith as an Administrator, Master Thesis, Brigham Young University, okay? My Lord, okay? Now, it goes on to say, because of the importance that is now placed upon the word of wisdom, most members of the Mormon Church are thoroughly shocked when they find out that Joseph Smith, the man who introduced the temple ceremony unto the Mormon Church, would not be able to go through the temple if he were living today, because of his frequent use of alcoholic beverages. In his history, Joseph Smith admitted several times that he drank wine, and under the date of June the 1st, 1844, he stated that he had a glass of beer at Mooser's. The statement concerning the glass of beer was obviously very embarrassing to later Mormon leaders. For in recent editions of the History of the Church, It has been what? Deleted. She said they deleted it. When Joseph Smith's statement was first published in the Latter-day Saints Millennium Star, it read as follows. Then went to John P. Green and paid him and another brother $200. Drank a glass of beer and Molsters, called at William Clayton. Now, so Joseph, now here's the thing. You claim that you got this word of wisdom from God, a revelation that you said, and you even preached a sermon on it, but immediately you turn around and you puffing the cigar or you drink it, okay? Now, people, what's wrong with that? And like she was saying here, that's an embarrassment to many of the Mormons. See, one of the things about it, you'll find in Mormonism, they change a lot of stuff. They lay claim, okay, like I told you, before Joseph Smith was a man of God when he was humble, but he fell off the rap. Now, with them, everything is God, God, coming from Joseph Smith. So he could do no wrong. And so when there's certain things he have given and they change it, there is no public statement saying, hey, we believe that our prophet Joseph Smith era and this is the real thing. None of that. They're not going to speak against the Joseph Smiths and the Brigham Youngs too much. You can forget that. But here's the thing. If this word of wisdom came from the Lord, really a revelation, and you're really believing the Lord, how is it that you can preach this sermon and immediately, you know, and this is supposed to be testimony to some of your own members and guys, I think, even in the ministry, what said how you call yourself testing the saints. What gives you the right to test the saints like that? First of all, if that was a revelation given for the people who are supposed to be the people of God, according to them, the Mormons, then you first need to apply it to who? To you. Okay? To you. Not looking to other people, to you. Okay? Amen. And so he, according to their records, Joseph Smith decided to test the people. So he's coming out puffing on a big cigar, riding down the streets in Nauvoo. Okay? Wow. Wow. Well, we know that if God gave such a thing to him, we know that instruction didn't come from God, because God is not going to tell you something that's sinful or wrong and then go tell you to do it to test the people. Okay? I mean, come on. He's the God of righteousness. Okay? He's the God of truth. He ain't going out like that, people. He's not doing the stuff like that. So that's the other thing, okay? Amen. This supposed to be a revelation from God. You, according to the records, you was concerned should people be, you know, able to smoke and stuff like that, because you didn't count on your men is puffing and filling the room up with smoke. Probably had you coughing and can't see you, okay? And then they spitting on the floor. So all of a sudden you go to God, and God revealed to you, according to what you said, that it's not good to have the liquor, the tobacco, but you threw in there coffee and tea. And so the Lord mentioned hot drinks. Now, if this is really from the Lord, how is it that you're able to go out there and do it if this such is a revelation from the Lord? Do you understand what I'm saying? That there should have been some kind of conviction somewhere. But according to your records here, you claim to be testing the saints. And then according to what I read to you guys, apparently Joseph Smith was a continual drinker. You know, the beer and all this stuff, he was a continual drinker. Okay? So Joseph Smith didn't let up on it. But it's amazing how that people can lift up a man in one instance, even to a degree where he's wrong, because they treat him like he's God. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, people should have been looking and say, hey, wait a minute. Man, Joseph, you claim to get this revelation from God. How you ride through the streets
huffing and puffing on something that you told us God said that was harmful, and you shouldn't be fooling with it. You know, that, to me, that would be my first red flag right there. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If you think that Joseph Smith didn't see how the people saw him, then there's something wrong with you. And what I'm talking about is that he knew that the people was holding him up in a place where he shouldn't be held up, like he's God. Amen. So he's going to call himself doing the testing. A testing on something that you said God told you that was harmful. You're going to go do it in front of the people. And it's amazing how the people didn't say, hey, wait a minute. What you doing, man? Oh, man, wait a minute. I thought you said, man, I'm kind of wondering about what you told us now. I think you're playing a game. Amen. I think you're playing around. Amen. If you look at some sinners today, you know, if a preacher start, you know, saying that God told me this and that and this wrong, and he turn around and immediately do it or get this the way they gave in his records here, like Joseph Smith, yes, he purposely went out, called himself testing the saints. So you know he wasn't seeing, you know, they weren't seeing no, so far, no regret on his face for doing it, you know, or no conviction on him. So today, if you're looking at some of the sinner, man, they preacher doing something like that, they'll call that preacher and say, hey, thought you said God, man, we don't believe that stuff. We don't believe God told you nothing like that. They'll tell you straight out. But it's amazing how that the Mormon people, even at that time when that was done, didn't start questioning like saying, hey, did God really tell this man this, or is this man just trying to play game? Because why would he tell us God said this harmful, but he going to parade in front of the streets in front of us, puffing on a cigar? You know? See, that's confusion, people. That's confusion. Hallelujah. Straight up confusion. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Confusion. See, Joseph Smith, in his pride and failure, came up with a lot of stuff. And Mormonism is one of the biggie, okay, if not the biggie, okay? And then plus he implementing these Masonic rituals into the thing of the temple and all this stuff and these passwords and handshake, all this Masonic. Now, I read to you guys in part one where that the Lord Jesus Christ is sending his angel, the Elijah, like he promised, Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4. He sent his angel, the Elijah, and the first time he sent him to a brother in the Lord who he wanted to write down the words that he is bringing from the Lord Jesus Christ, named Brother Otto Fetty, on February the 4th, 1927, the very first thing he said to him was about this, what is called the Articles in Faith and Practice, which is another thing for the church to stand on, okay, true believers to stand on. And it's a list of 25 things that the Lord had inspired these men of God on what is called the Temple Lot. And he inspired them to write this down and for his people to stand on this. And one of them is, we believe that ministry and membership should abstain from the use of tobacco, intoxicating liquors, and narcotics, and should not affiliate with any society which administers oaths and covenants to conflict with the law of God or which interferes with their duties as freemen and citizens. Now, if God, which he did, inspired these men to write that which I read to you, there is no mention of hot drinks, okay,
No mention of hot drinks. There's no mention of coffee or tea. Okay. Also, I noticed something that is mentioned that, quote, was not mentioned to, or Joseph Smith didn't say was mentioned to him, which he did the opposite. And this is the part here where God said that the ministry and membership should not affiliate with any society which administers oaths or covenants in conflict with the law of God. Well, that's one of the things that got is masonry written all over it, okay? And we know that Joseph Smith dip and dabble in masonry. Now, it's amazing that since God inspired these men to what was harmful and that what would be wise not to get into, talking about the ministry and the membership, abstain from the use of tobacco, intoxicating liquors and narcotics, I'm pretty sure that God could have also inspired these men, especially if he said that part about, hey, the coffee and the tea. Okay? I'm pretty sure that God could have done that. I mean, he inspired these men to write these articles of faith and practice. Listen, here's the thing where people get into trouble and more confusion come out. You got some people that think that God, when he tells one person something, that he can't tell someone else the same thing he told the other person. You got some people that actually believe that. Yeah. You know, that's just like you got many thinking that the only book of God's word is the Bible. They don't think there's no other book. And the record, the Bible, is the record of God dealing with the Jewish believers, born again, and giving his covenants and all that in the Old Testament, dealing with his ancient covenant people, all of that. But however, God had people in other parts of the world. So you mean to tell me that God can only speak to Jews, but cannot tell people in other parts of the world the same thing he told the Jews? Because remember, God always had what? Witnesses, okay? He always had witnesses. So you mean to tell me, for example, since God and told the Jews that, hey, healing is my will, you mean to tell me somebody 10 to 15,000 miles away or in another part of the world, you mean to tell me that God cannot tell them the same thing and have it recorded in the records? Really? Is our God that limited? Or is our God that forgetful? Okay. I mean, we as humans, we have problem remembering stuff. All of us are subject to telling a person something and speaking on that same subject to another person, but end up leaving something out. We all is subject to that, but not the Lord. The Lord is not going to forget what he tell me. And if he's speaking on the same subject as you, like he can't tell you because he forgot he told me this, that ain't the type of God we serve. He's not limited like that, people. He's not having shortcomings like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In the article, another one of their articles, the LDS Church clarifies the word of wisdom. This is what they said about this word of wisdom. They said, the word of wisdom, which one must abide by in order to go to the temple. Whoa. Prevent members from using or consuming alcohol, illegal drugs, tobacco, coffee, tea, and harmful substances. It also urges members to eat healthy food like fruits and vegetables and to eat meat sparingly. Now, here's the key I want to say on this. They're saying that if you don't observe this word of wisdom, you can't go to the temple. And see, they very much exalt that temple. I mean, that temple, man, wow. You know, people, you need to look up and search what they think about the temple. I mean, they really exalt the temple. This temple that they have, they really exalt it, okay?
really exalted. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, and this is from August the 16th, 2019. It said, on Friday evening, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints released this statement while linking to the New Era article for more information. They said, the word of wisdom is a law of health for the physical, the spiritual benefit of God's children. It includes instruction about what good foods are good for us and those substances to avoid. Over time, church leaders have provided additional instruction on those things that are encouraged or forbidden by the word of wisdom, and have taught that substances that are destructive, habit-forming, or addictive should be avoided. Now, here's the thing I want to say on that right there. When they say the church leaders have provided additional instruction on those things that are encouraged or forbidden by the word of wisdom. Now, this is where you got to be careful on this, especially when you say it was a revelation given by God. And I'm gonna say a little bit more in a minute, okay? On another one of their websites that's entitled The Word of Wisdom Changes in Dealing with the Word of Wisdom, it said changes in the way the word of wisdom was implemented over time. Now, if it's a revelation from God, why is there some changes? Okay. If it's the word of God, why is there some changes? You know, you don't need to be messing with that. And this is where people get into situation where they get into trouble. And I'm talking about even born-again believers. This is what they said on this site here. And this is a quote, too, from their Doctrine and Covenants book on this word of wisdom. They said, nevertheless, it required time to wind down practices that were so deeply ingrained in family tradition and culture, especially when fermented beverages of all kinds were frequently used for medicinal purposes. The term strong drink certainly included distilled spirits like whiskey, which hereafter the Latter-day Saints generally shunned. Now, the Lord inspired the men that what the angel was talking about when he said there not being the changes to the article of the faithful practice, the Lord said intoxicating liquor. They said here strong drink certainly included distilled spirits like whiskey, which hereafter the Latter-day Saints generally shun. Now listen to this. They said that they took a more moderate approach to milder alcoholic beverages like beer and pure wine of the grape of the vine of your own make. For the next two generations, Latter-day Saint leaders taught the word of wisdom as a command from God, but they tolerated a variety of viewpoints on how strictly the commandments should be observed. Now, that's interesting. If it's a command from God, it's a command from God. What are you doing viewing and looking at how strict should the commandment be observed? Do y'all hear this? This is, you know, in other words, you know, it's like a Christian getting a word, you know, reading the word of the Bible where it's a command of God. I said, well, I'm going to see how strictly this commandment should be from God. Listen, if God command you and tell you not to do something, he means not to do it. You understand that? If God command you to do something, he means do it. I mean, when you get into the area where you start saying, okay, we're going to observe this and see how strict this command is. Can we have a little leeway and do that? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, as I've been telling you guys before, and some of you thinking, oh, you're just picking on the Mormons. I'm not picking on the Mormons. I love them with the love of God. But they're not of the true restoration work of Christ. And see, when something goes to attach itself that is not of God to that which is of God,
it is our duty as believers to call it out, okay? And as I shared with you guys before, too many believers are trying to stay silent all the time. Now, I'm not saying it's up to you. You need to run your mouth and just open your mouth on everything. I'm not saying that. But some believers, they want to just be silent all the time. Don't say nothing. And listen, this work of restoration that we're talking to you guys about, amen, this is the restoration of the work of God. And anything that's ungodly trying to attach itself to it, it's our duty to call it out and to let you guys know that it's not of God. What would it look like if we knowing it's not of God and we just sitting up there with our mouth closed? You know, you got people in many other churches. You got some pastors in the churches. They see stuff going wrong in the church. They just what? Shut up. And it's different reasons why they do. Some of them is, hey, they thinking about, man, I'm making $2,000 a Sunday. I know I open my mouth on this. I'm going to lose that $2,000. I better keep my mouth closed. Don't think all them ministers sitting behind the pulpit is in ignorance. Now, some of them know some of this stuff being done is wrong. They know it. But they like, okay, man, I just got me a brand new Cadillac last week. Now, if I said something to them, that's going to cut me off. Amen. And then you got others, they are too scared to say anything. You know, some ministers are too, the spirit of fear has gripped them, and the people in the church have run over. And so they can know stuff is being done that is wrong, but they won't open their mouth and say anything. Well, in the Church of Christ lies a message, as we proclaim to you guys the work of restitution, restoration, anything that's evil and not of God, it is our obligation and duty to call it out and to make it known to y'all, to you guys, that it's not of God. You know, just like I, you know, share with you guys that on different websites, when you look up the Church of Christ Elias message, they'll tell you, say, the Church of Christ Elias message is a branch of the Latter-day Saints. But that ain't true. That ain't true. And it's sad to say that some of us in the Church of Christ Elias message won't even open our mouths to call out the evil. We just sit there with our mouth closed. We was told in the book of Jude, contend for the faith that once was delivered for the saints. God didn't tell you to shut up all the time, okay? Keep your mouth closed all the time. You got to be willing to stand. But see, some of us won't do that. And one of the things we talk, well, we're not to attack churches. No, we're calling out the evil. Calling out the evil. Amen. We can't just sit there with our mouth closed. At some point, people, you got to be willing to stand. And some of us, we do the cop-out thing. I'm just going to let God handle it. I'm going to let God do it. I ain't going to say nothing. You've been riding that horse so long, that horse about to fall out. Ain't had no water underneath. You done rode that horse so bad it's pitiful. It ain't even a horse no more. It just laid out on the ground. You just wore it out. That's a cop-out statement to keep from really making a stand. But like I told you guys, the thing finna come, the test is finna come for many of you. You're going to have to voice where you stand. Amen. Now, some of you say, well, you know, the people already know where I stand. No. Because many instances where you had a chance to stand, you just sat there and was quiet. You just were quiet. Amen. Had a chance to open your mouth, you just sat there. Just quiet. And it's our job to call out the evil. Amen. And see, they saying that if you don't do this thing, this word of wisdom, you can't go into the temple. Like I told you, one of the things they really exalt to is that temple. It's that temple. Amen. That temple that they have built, they really exalt that, okay? Now, when the Lord inspired me to write these articles of faith and practice, the Lord did say and inspired men to say that we believe that ministry and membership should abstain. See, I read to you where they said they did the thing, they did it under moderation, but later on through the years, it changed to what? Absent or moderation. What give us the right to do that in changes like that when it's dealing with something that's supposed to be a revelation given from God? Why could we not, why can one not seek God and find out, okay, God, what do you mean? Do you mean moderation or absence? Now, some things, no doubt, is just self-explanatory. Even though we tend, as people, and I include many of us as Christians, we tend to make things harder than what it is, because actually we'd be actually looking for God to change his mind on such, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it's amazing to me that if you got a revelation from God to not do something, something harmful, and you immediately run out there and do that, it's something wrong. Now, have people went through and did such stuff? Yeah, but it's something wrong. It's something wrong. Especially when you, it's worse when you're willfully and purposely doing this thing. When Joseph Smith rolled out in the streets with an old big cigar in his mouth, and knowing he had just told the people, hey, I got this revelation from God that you don't need to smoke no cigars. It's harmful. And you gonna jump on and ride out on a horse in front of the people puffing a cigar. What you talking about? I'm gonna try the people. No, you more like confuse the people. Amen. Could you imagine a minister going to the people and saying, listen, I got this revelation from the Lord that stealing is wrong. And all of a sudden he go out in public where his members see him. He goes out in public in a store, has a little bag on him, takes some clothes off the aisle and stuff it in his bag and walk out. Could you imagine what that could do to his members seeing that? To the members of the church he passing, they look and say, hey, what is Pastor Joe stealing? And then he walked out the store and went home with the stuff. What is this? Pastor Joe just told us he got a revelation from the Lord that stealing is wrong. And he just turned around there and Pastor Joe at the house saying, well, I had to try the people. What? Really? Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, people, let me tell you this. I don't care if it's coming from me. Check when anyone tells you I've got a revelation from God or something, learn how to check it. Mouth two or three witnesses by the word of God. Learn how to check it. Learn how to check it. Because if you got some people that say that's false and they just tell you anything and say, well, the Lord said, and then turn around and do the opposite of what they told you that the Lord said, okay, and you looking at this thing, you know, and you going, I thought he said the Lord said not to do that. See, some of these men had such powerful influence over people, even when they did wrong, the people really stuck with them on that thing. You know, you look at one great example is Jim Jones. Now, he was doing some, and many of the people that followed him, they knew he was doing some no-no, but they still stayed with him till they all end up, you know, killing themselves. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm going to stop it there today, and I think I'm going to have one more part to this, part three. Lord say the same tomorrow. I think it's going to be the third and final part to this. Amen. And I pray that the information that I've given you that, hey, just go look it up. Just go look it up yourself. Just go look it up, okay? Amen. Do your own investigation because, like I said, these are people who claiming to be part of the restoration work. And so we got to expose the confusion. And I hate to say it, it's a shame in the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints, we've just been staying so silent for so long. Okay? When you got a people who claiming that not only they're of the restoration work, but they are the restoration. That the Mormon Church is the restored church. They're claiming this, people. And see, the stuff that they model out and do, you can't find that scripture to support them things. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And we thank you for this day you made and created and for what you're doing and what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, for touching hearts that are listening, touching ears, touching minds. Thank you for revealing your power. And Lord God, I thank you for all that have been listening. I give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Lord, say the same. She'll be back tomorrow night with part three to this. So once again, may the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.